We pray. Lord, guide us into all truth. Amen. So who's your favorite? If you were voting this year, which candidate would you vote for? There are quite a few choices between Republicans and Democrats. There are about 15 choices. Add to that candidates from parties that, I counted 16 other parties that don't get any publicity. And to that are innumerable independent candidates that we've never heard of. Calls for quite a decision on our part. How should a voter make an educated choice? He can listen to debates, but there are many unpublicized candidates who don't get into the debates. And maybe one of them is better than all the rest. And then there's a matter of honesty. I've seen quite a few elections in my lifetime, and I can tell you that political candidates have said one thing when they were on the stump, and when they got into office, they did something quite different. It's no wonder that many potential voters throw up their hands in disgust and confusion, not even bothering to go to the polls at all. So what should we do? How can a Christian filter through all the smoke and mirrors and come up with a good choice? Well, I'm not going to tell you, because I don't know. I listen to what they have to say. I make a choice, and then I leave it up to God. Now we're getting down to the heart of the matter. In a republic, it seems as though the choice of a president lies in the hands of the people. And therefore, politicians spend a lot of time and a lot of money trying to persuade the people. Some do it with extravagant promises, and others with magnificent oratory. In the end, however, it is not the people who make the choice. It is God. Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And concerning the authority, he says, for he is God's servant to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's servant, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So presidents and kings, emperors or dictators, all hold their positions because God ordained it to be so. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Or as God told it to perhaps one of the most powerful emperors of the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar, God changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. And later on, the emperor himself declared, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. If you've studied history, there have probably been times when you've questioned God's choices because evil rulers have come into power and done terrible things. However, remember this, rulers are still sinners. Although God sets them up to serve him in his ways by punishing the evildoers, the criminals, and by rewarding good citizens, many of these rulers arrogantly ignore the will of God and go their own way. Well, we've seen how God has punished many kings and emperors for doing this, for refusing to give him the glory, for their arrogant rejection of his will. Consider Belshazzar. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. The handwriting on the wall. Daniel told him, but you, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. You have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways. You have not glorified. And then Daniel announced that Belshazzar's kingdom would be taken away from him and given to the Medes and the Persians. That's that upharsin, the Persians. That very night, Belshazzar was murdered, and his kingdom was put in the hands of Darius the Mede. Another thing to remember is this, that even though evil rulers do wicked things, God still uses them to accomplish his purposes. Now, we may not know what his purposes are, but we trust that he is ruling because Scripture says so. He's ruling in the kingdom of men. Therefore, whatever a president does, God makes it fit his plans. When that leader has served God's purposes, then God removes him or her and puts someone else in his place. Now, I have to take back something that I just said. We do know what the purpose of God is. It's to bring us to glory. During the 4,000 years before the birth of Christ, God was controlling times and maneuvering events in order to bring to pass the fullness of time. And when that time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So it is that in 2016, 2,000 years after the birth of Christ, we are here in this place, sons of the Most High God, listening to his word, singing his praises, waiting for the glorious return of the Son of God, so that we may ascend to his side and be and spend eternity with him. As for now, we serve him as tools in his hands, serving his purpose. And with that in mind, Christians go to the polls and they vote, but they do so with a prayer on their lips, a prayer that God will guide us and that he will guide all voters. And then when we find out what the decision is, we will accept it with meekness, humbly, with no complaining. Somehow, some way, God will use this new ruler. We'll talk more about that in a future chapel. For now, let us pray. O Lord, guide the people of this land to seek a leader who will delight to do your will and glorify your name. Grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. And we'll close with hymn number 575. We'll take a look at the author of that hymn. We will sing verses 1 and 5.